ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
So we are studying the first section of the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad, very beautifully called Brahmanandavalli. We have seen that the result a person obtains by knowing that I am Brahman, he will be swimming in an ocean of bliss forever, infinitely. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. Anantam means for all time to come, eternally swimming in bliss. Now, how to realize? For that purpose, a Upanishad has started Panchakosha Vivarana. And what is this Panchakosha Vivarana? Nothing but, if anybody has been thrown from many storied building to the lowest floor, and he needs to get back to the highest floor from where he has come down. So he has to start climbing back. That process of climbing back is called moving forward from the gross to the subtle, to even more subtle, etc. In this imagery, only it is like five-storied building. And very apt illustration, because the building is consisting of five stories and there is a roof. Above the roof, it is only akasha. So the building is completely limited, finite, but the akasha is infinite. So if one wishes to identify with the akasha, with the infinite, he has to climb one after the other. And in the process of climbing, what happens? As soon as this person, who is none other than a spiritual aspirant, moves from the ground floor to the first floor, so long as he is at the ground floor becomes the complete reality, satyam. But as soon as he moves to the first floor becomes the satyam, called here in atma. And the ground floor becomes unimportant, only an aid for that person to come up. So long as this person is on the second floor, that second floor is the entire world reality. But when he starts climbing, slowly he becomes detached. As every step he puts on the staircase on the way to the second floor, so he becomes as it were detached. And when he reaches the second floor, then the first floor, like the ground floor, becomes anatma, and the second floor becomes his entire world of reality. Thus he moves from the second to the third, then third floor becomes his reality, fourth floor becomes the reality, fifth floor becomes the reality, and then he goes to the roof to say, I am not limited by any one of these buildings, stories. So this is an analogy, beautiful analogy, we have to keep in mind for easiness of grasping, understanding. So this is the process. As long as we are identified, we experience the external world, then that is the entire world of reality. And in that entire world of reality, I, the individual, becomes the most important reality. Even if I am having slightest headache, as if the whole universe is suffering because of our identity with this individual body. So we must start looking upon, this is not an individual body, is not mere body of flesh and bones, but it is Brahman himself. It is like a temple, and the sanctum sanctorum will be within. So that sanctum sanctorum is called the Buddhi Guha, that is called Dharakasha. And that Dharakasha represents the presence of the highest truth. So treat this body as sacred, not something to be misused. Any selfish desire, when it is fulfilled, it makes us more identified with the gross body and naturally with the external world. Now the process is to spiritualize the body, spiritualize the mind, spiritualize the causal body, or in the words of the Taittiriya Upanishad, spiritualize the Annamaya Kosha, then Pranamaya Kosha. But in this process, we move nearer to the Atman. Pranamaya Kosha is nearer to Atman than Annamaya Kosha. So as we discussed earlier, first of all, we have to make our own body sacred, pure. What happens? So as we come to think of our own body as sacred, then every other body also appears in the same light. Because when we conceive of the reality about our own body, we conceive of the reality of other bodies also exactly in the same light. If I think I am the physical body, everything else is the physical body. A house is a physical body. A mountain is a physical body. Every living, non-living creature is a physical body. But the moment I consider myself as sacred, so everything becomes completely sacred. That is why, just a small example I am giving, you go to any Vishwanatha temple in Varanasi, any temple, it doesn't matter, and the moment you enter, you become highly conscious. This is a sacred temple, because the Lord Vishwanatha resides here. That idea makes our own body sacred. Anything in the precincts of the temple is considered as sacred. And that is why let us not think any worldly thought. Let us consider ourselves blessed. And if we can also taste a bit of the Ganges water, then we feel we have become purer, holier. So the whole idea, our concept of our body makes outside also sacred, holy, pure, and vice versa. But we start with our own body. So thus we travel from Annamaya to Pranamaya to Manomaya to Vijnanamaya to Anandamaya. And then when we look up, we find even Anandamaya is also like the roof, but I have nothing to do. Just as I am separate from the roof, I am separate from the first floor, I am separate from the second, third, fourth, fifth floors, I am also separate from the roof. So that understanding that I am separate from everything comes. I then identify with the infinite, which is represented by Akasha in this example of the building. Similarly, the Anandamaya Kosha. Then we perceive Anandamaya Kosha is also limited. It is also sustained by somebody, something else. And it has an origin and it has a death. How is Anandamaya a death? Whenever our happiness comes to an end, that is the death of Anandamaya Kosha. Because remember, in the course of our discussions, we are going to fewer details, more details. But whenever a person is happy, he is in the Anandamaya Kosha. When a person is determined to accomplish something, he is in the Vijnanamaya Kosha. When a person is deeply thinking, he is in the manomaya kosha. When a person is active in accomplishing something, he is in the pranamaya kosha. And when a person is using his body, that means all the 10 organs, 5 of knowledge and 5 of action, he is identified with the annamaya kosha. So the journey is from the effector to the cause. That is one way of understanding. Another point is, as we go deeper, it becomes subtler, more expansive, more accommodating, and much is contained than before. Our mind contains the whole world, but our buddhi can contain the entire creation and much more, even the thought of God. But when we reach Anandamaya Kosha, then as long as we are in the Anandamaya Kosha, the whole universe appears to be an embodiment of bliss. But even that Anandamaya Kosha is limited because it is interconnected with the other panchakoshas. So they do not allow this Anandamaya Kosha to be pure Ananda. So that is also limited. But that is far away from our sight. And the next point we have to understand, even if I am enjoying for 1 millisecond of happiness, I am in the Anandamaya Kosha. And it is Brahmananda only. Why? Because there are no 2 types of happinesses. One is Brahmananda, another is Vishayananda. No, there is only 1 type of Ananda. When Brahmananda is severely restricted, that is called Vishayananda, restricted by time, space and causation. And when it lasts a little bit longer, that is called Pranamaya Kosha. So that is also Brahmananda. When we are in the Anandamaya Kosha, still that kosha is very subtly making us identify with this personality called Aham. So Aham Anandamaya Kosha is also a bondage, a limitation, much finer limitation, much vaster limitation, but it is also bondage. That's why Ramakrishna, Sattva Guna is to be identified with Anandamaya Kosha. So Sattva, and we are in happiness, that is called Sattva Guna, we are in Sattva Guna. And Sattva Guna gives also Jnanam. What is it? I am happy. I am aware that I am a happy person. And even Anandamaya Kosha, there are variations. Priya, Moda, etc. We will discuss about it in the Anandamaya Kosha. So, there can be no variations in Brahmananda. But Anandamaya is experienced by us at the level of Pancha Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, and even at Annamaya Kosha, at the level of Annamaya Kosha, there are vast variations are there. You put a sweet on your tongue, and that is one type of a very short time bound happiness. We call it happiness because that which is Ananda when bound and limited by time, space and causation, it is called happiness. And when Ananda becomes even less, that is called unhappiness. Unhappiness is not something special. It is less of happiness is called unhappiness. More of unhappiness is even more unhappiness. So, less of unhappiness is Ananda, happiness. More of happiness is Ananda. At every kosha, the reality becomes higher, subtler, vaster, more expansive. And that is how we have to understand. There are no 2 Anandas, only Brahmananda. But when it is limited, we call it Vishayananda, Medhananda, Kalananda, then Dharmananda. Only then we come to the Brahmananda. So the point is, first find out what is your real nature. So if that is why many Hindus, they remember their gotra. So we have descended from Vishwamitra Gotra, Gautama Gotra, Bharadvaja Gotra, etc., to say they were such great rishis. So I have to approximate my life as their life. The more I approximate, the more joy and self-satisfaction will come. So like that, we have to remember from which gotra we are coming down, Brahma Gotra, because we are coming descending from Brahma. And that is what we have discussed in our last class and another point also. So we will now, with this background, go deeper into this first Anuvaka, Brahmananda Valli, first Anuvaka, first section. So tasmadva etasmad atmanah akashah sambhutah akashat vayuh vayur agnihi agne rapah adhyah prithvi. So from this atman, self here means atman. Atman, Brahman, synonymous words. That is to say the highest reality, the supreme reality. Yad gacha gatra gacha nani vartante tadhama paramam mama. Tad Vishnoho Paramam Padam. This is the our original causeless cause, Brahman. So that Brahman has decided to play with himself. So he became a little bit grossified, and that first manifestation of grossification is called Akasha. And this Akasha became even more grossified, that became Vayu. Vayu became even more grossified, became Agni or fire. Agni became even more grossified, it became Apaha or waters. And waters became even more the grossest, this earth, Prithvi, Prithvi or Prithvi. So we have to remember, at first, the unmixed, apanchikrita, subtlest five elements. And these five elements, with each grossification, they have become identified with one particular quality. Akasha with Shabda, Vayu with Sparsha, Agni with Rupa, Apaha with Rasa, and Prithvi, later on called Annam, with Gandha or smell. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. And in order for us to experience them, corresponding individual sense organs, so the ears, then the tanmatra, that is the tvak matra, that is the skin, sparsha, then the eyes for perceiving the forms, then the tongue for experiencing the taste, and the nostril for experiencing the smell. So Bhagavan became five elements. First, very subtle five elements. Then these very subtle five elements mixed in a peculiar process discovered by our rishis called Panchikaranam, and they mixed with each other. Every element contains every other element. Akasha contains not only Akasha part, but 1/4 of the Vayu, Agni, Apaha, Prithvi. So 50% of its own nature and 12.5% each of the four of the other four elements. This is called Panchikarana. And out of these mixture, so out of the subtle elements came the Karana Sharira and the Sukshma Sharira. Out of the Panchikrita five elements came this entire universe creation. Therefore, through this process of explanation, then my body belongs to Prithvi. And earth contains all the five elements, remember. So, but in only less number of what is called amount of quantity. So, the preponderance is earth. Waters, even much more subtler. Fire, even brilliant. Light comes. And when we come to Vayudevata, in Samvarga Vidya, in Chandogya Upanishad, this Vayudevata is taken as Hiranyagarbha. And that equation is also very beautiful. Then we go to the Akasha, which contains, sustains, pervades everything, subtlest of all the elements. But even then it is a creation, and therefore it is a limitation. From our viewpoint, it is unlimited. From Atman's point of view, it is what is called part of the creation, and the creation is called Anatma according to Advaita Vedanta. So, what is the essence of this explanation? That each one of us are coming only like my parents, parents' parents, and their parents, etc. Finally, we trace to one particular causeless cause called Brahman. And we have to remember the law, most wonderful law. That is, the effect can never be different from the cause. And therefore, the entire creation is nothing but Brahman. First of all, how do we know what is the nature of Brahman? Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Now you take a living creature, which is a better example. So here is a human being. What is the first thing? Here is Asti, Sat. That is called Satya. And the person is conscious, I am. That is called Jnanam. And the person is sometimes, in fact, compared to other species, human being is supposed to be much more happy person. No non-human being can appreciate Rasagulla or a fine painting or a beautiful piece of music like a trained human being. So a human being has got that special equipment with which in the course of the evolution he obtained this finest body, finest brain, finest mind, etc. And with the help of those instruments, so many people have realized God. And so, every human being is extraordinarily fortunate to be born as a human being, because God realization is possible only in a human body with this kind of equipment. So, slowly trace ourselves. That is the purpose I told you. So, the entire universe is nothing but the product of earth. When we say product of earth, like curds is the product of milk, so the curds do not contain anything that is not milk, but contains everything that milk is. So whatever the qualities of the Brahman, characteristics of Brahman, this earth contains only in a grossified manner. And as we go deeper, we will see that more and more of the characteristics of Brahman are being manifested. We are experiencing, we will experience, and then our understanding becomes better, our joy becomes more expansive, and finally, when we reach Anandamaya, only then we understand even this Anandamaya. Maya means plenty of, full of, pratyaya. But even that is a measurement. Measurement is a limitation. So we don't want measurement. We want to be that original cause. And that is called Brahman. And the purpose of this creation is slowly purify our mind, our body. Then through that purified body and mind, whatever we look at appears to be purified, holy, pure. That means it is God. We are able to see God. When we go to the pranamaya level, then we become even more identified with the sukha, happiness, dukkha, unhappiness, good and evil of other people. That is why we feel sympathy. And when we ascend to the level of the mind, we are able to understand much, much better. And when we came to Vijnanamaya Kosha, that is, our understanding becomes almost perfect. And that leads us to Anandamaya Kosha. So this is how slowly, as we go up, we become less gross, more expansive, and our qualities of Sat, Chit and Ananda become even more manifest. With that background, let us go quickly through these mantras. So what happened? The five elements have been produced. And the last element, which contains all the other elements, called Prithvi or Earth. And from the Prithivyam, Oshadayaha. So from the Earth came all the plant kingdom, herbs, and it is called Oshadi. I will come to that point. So, plant kingdom. And the plants became annam. And the, from the food. So, everything in this world, every living creature, it is born out of food. And it is sustained by food. And it goes back into food. But the scripture wants to point out, we are not talking about the other manifestations of creation, but specially human being. And that too, not any ordinary human being, but a human being over the countless number of lives, past lives. Slowly he is evolving himself, more sattva-guna and more finer understanding, etc. That is what is being said here. Prithivya Oshadayaha. So, Brahman became the space Akasha. Akasha further classified into air. Air further classified into fire or tejas, Agni. And Agni or fire manifested itself even in grosser form. That is called waters. And waters became this earth. From the earth, plants and herbs have come out. Or we have to always be careful. What should we be careful about in this world? When parents give birth to a baby, a baby is separate. So there are many similar elements with regard to the body. But with regard to the mind, samskaras, vast differences could be there even among twins like Ravanasura, Ibhishana and Kumbhakarna. They were all born of the same parents. But what a difference it makes. By the way, you must recollect, whenever we look at any person, we are not judging that person, or we are judging that person not by how his body is, how his mind is. That is a very shallow view. But we are judging how good that person is, how pure that person is, how loving that person is, how unselfish that person is. We are attracted only to the person's these beautiful qualities. So, always we have to keep this point in mind. Wherever there is more manifestation of sattva, we are attracted to that. Because sattva represents love, joy and less selfishness. Rajas is a mixture of love and hate, good and evil, etc. Selfishness and unselfishness. Tamoguna, pure selfishness, very, very crass, gross, etc. So that is the, these are the points always we have to keep in mind. So from this last element called earth, plants and herbs, from plants and herbs, these plants and herbs, food, I was mentioning, you know. So when parents give birth, baby is totally different. But that's not what we mean. It is like milk becoming curds. So here, what does it mean? The earth is not producing plants and herbs and remaining separate. Earth itself is manifesting in the form of plants and herbs. Ganga Devi is manifesting in the form of waters. Annapurna Devi is manifestation of annam only. And the fire god is manifestation of fire. The air god, Vayu Devata, is manifestation of air. So, Akasha Devata. That is the point we have to keep in mind. The earth is manifesting as plants. And these plants is real food for the parents. They eat the food. And out of the eaten food, a part of it becomes the seeds in both of them, Purusha Bija and Stri Bija. And when they come together, so the offspring is born. So, Annat Purushaha. What are we? We are nothing but food. And therefore, Ishruti concludes, Sava Esha Purushaha. You look at any person, Anna Rasamayaha is a manifestation, embodiment of nothing but product of food. And the Upanishad uses it. ஓஷதிபியோ அன்னம் பிருத்திவியா ஓஷதயா. ஓஷதி மீன்ஸ் ஆக்சுவலி மெடிசினல் பிளான்ட்ஸ். வை இஸ் இட்? பிகாஸ் ஹங்கர் இஸ் எ டிசீஸ். வித்தவுட் ஹங்கர் வி டோன்ட் ஃபீல் லைக் ஈட்டிங் ஃபுட். அண்ட் வென் வி ஈட் ஃபுட் அண்ட் தட் ஃபுட் வி பிகம் தி ஃபுட். வி ஆர் வாட் வி ஈட். ஸோ வென் வி ஆர் சஃபரிங் ஃப்ரம் தி டிசீஸ் கால்டு ஹங்கர், thirst or cold or heat or lack of oxygen, etc., etc., so all the elements become the medicines. What does the medicine do? Keeps the health of the person intact. So we are living, we came out of the food, and we live by the food, and at the end we also go back to the food. That is going to be told very soon. So here Purusha means a human being. Because why a human being? Shankaracharya explains, because only a human birth that can lead us to spiritual practice, making a firm decision, turning towards God, etc., etc. So this physical body is referred to as annamaya purusha or bhautika shariram. So as I said, so we have to reverse this process. That means that is called evolution. From the inorganic to the smallest manifestation of organism, amoeba and one-celled creature, then two-celled, then multi-celled, and then insects, birds, plant kingdom, and finally animal kingdom, and then human beings emerge. So that is called evolution. But this Darwin's theory of evolution cannot explain what our scripture is telling, that what it has to be done. Now from this time onwards, even in this first section, we have to do upasana. What is that upasana? We have to consider ourselves as Anna Brahma. I am not merely food. I am Brahman as the manifestation of food. Food is the manifestation of Brahman. So for that purpose, the Taittiriya Upanishad takes the example of a bird, first of all. Now, why the example of a bird? For that, two explanations are given. One is, you see, we all see birds, and we have an idea. The bird has a head, and it has two wings, and then it has a tail, it has a backbone, so it is able to navigate itself with the help of all of them. If any of them is missing, of course, the bird cannot fly. So, this one understanding is, first you imagine a bird as if it is standing in front of you. It has a head, it has a right side, left side, and there is a backbone, and then there is a tail. And then transfer that imagery to a human body. This is for the easiness of upasana, contemplation. Now what I wanted, this is first explanation. The second explanation is, in the olden times, our rishis used to do a lot of yagnas and yagas. And one of the yagnas, there the bricks, etc., have to be arranged in a particular format. And that is called like a hawk. So the example of a hawk is taken, and just like this, imagery of the bird, imagery of the hawk, and in that way, the bricks, etc., have to be arranged in the form of approximating a bird, form of a bird, and there the fire has to be lit, and it has to be ahutis or offerings, oblations have to be given. So maybe that is there. It doesn't matter. It's very easy to understand. Here is a human being. He has got a head. He has got right side, right hand, left hand, backbone, and what we call from the waist downwards, legs. But the most important part is the backbone. Remember it. That is why it is called, the backbone is called Atma. Atma means trunk. Here Atma has nothing to do with the self or Brahman or Aham. It means a trunk. So with this understanding, so in the first section of the Brahmanandavali itself, this is given. Tasya idameva saraha. This is for the purpose of upasana. What is it? Make this Annamaya Kosha itself, think like that. What is Annamaya Kosha? Whatever idea we have about oneself. I am a human being, man or woman. I have got a head, I have got right hand, I have got a left hand, I have got right leg, left leg, and most important, I have got this backbone. And incidentally, science tells us. So whether it is monkeys, chimpanzees, dogs, cows, they all crawl on four legs. But in course of time, the chimpanzees, the gorillas, etc., they started standing up. Why were they standing up? More for the sake of observing whether there are any enemies. When they are crawling or walking on four legs, very difficult to find out. But if a person has got height, then from a mountain top, from a rooftop, from a big roof of a tower, easy to observe any dangers are there. So slowly, this gorilla started standing up, and then it became a practice, and in course of time, so we only go through those stages. As a baby, we crawl, then we hold something and start walking, standing up and walking, and in course of time, we can even run. So whenever we think of ourselves, our body, entire body comes. Now find out the imagery of this body. What purpose? This is nothing but Annamaya Sharira. So my head, Tasya Idameva Siraha. And I am Dakshinah Pakshah, I am Uttarah Pakshah, I am Atma, Idam Puchyam Pratishtha. And with regard to this, Tadapi Esha Shloko Bhavati. So there is a head for each human being. And his right arm is the right wing, left arm is the left wing, the trunk is the middle part of the body, and the lower part of the body is the tail that supports the body. That what is called guides the body, but the backbone is called the Atma, that is the trunk, is the most important part. So about this, there is a Rig Mantra is there. This is how an Upasaka has to imagine every kosha, not only Annamaya kosha, but all other koshas, including Anandamaya kosha. So, for the sake of upasana, the Upanishad uses a metaphor, likened by commentators, to describe its parts, the head, right and left sides, the trunk, and the lower limbs, here it means legs. Then the Upanishad compares the human body to a bird. So, very for the sake of upasana. Remember this story when a guru asked one of his common disciple that you meditate on Brahman, and he came after a few seconds, I cannot imagine what is Brahman. Then the intelligent guru asked him, so what do you love most? Very intelligent teacher. And he said, I have a buffalo, I love it so much. Okay, now you meditate on that buffalo, but that buffalo must be Brahman. You must think that buffalo not as an animal, but as Brahman. How do you think things? So just like personal God, the head of the buffalo, and there are four legs are there, front two legs, back two legs, and there is a tail, and there is a backbone. Exactly that we are asked to do here. Bhagavad Gita also says, so thinking of God as one of these human bodies, is it going to help us? Bhagavad Gita says, Ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam sadaiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmani anuvartante, manushyaha partha sarvasha. You think of God in the form of a stone, but think of not stone, but God. And that image comes out alive. If you study, not read, but study the life of Sri Ramakrishna, how he used to examine the image of the Divine Mother, like any one of us, but very, very fast, he started that she was looking and she was moving. Then he went and put his finger at the nostril of the Mother, and he found, like us, she was breathing. But only thing is, he could not find the shadow like we find our shadows when we are moving in the light of a lamp. Why? Because he was seeing it only through his mind's eye. That is called Brahma Darshana. So it started like that. Later on, in a cat, in a dog, in himself, in whoever he is seeing, Sri Ramakrishna started seeing the same Divine Mother. This is the beautiful story. That is why Hindus worship images for the ease of upasana. But whenever we look at an image or a pratima made out of clay or plastic nowadays, that is called fiberglass, it doesn't matter. We are not thinking Divine Mother is fiberglass. We are taking the help of this image to think of that unthinkable, somehow to bring her image, her qualities into our mind. That is how we are doing this worship. So this imagery of the bird is followed throughout, but we have to remember it is for the purpose of upasana. So just as a bird cannot fly unless there are two wings, right and left wings, and then the tail and the backbone, etc., and head. So we also cannot progress into spiritual life unless we do upasana. Slowly, this our own image, first it is our image, then it will be God's image. Finally, the image will disappear. Only God remains. So that is why in the course of evolution, so it may be another explanation. First we were birds, and then slowly we became animals, and then from animals, monkeys, chimpanzees, gorillas, and then human beings, maybe. But the main point is, it is for the easiness, what is called for the as a help for meditation, upasana. So our right and left arms are compared to wings, and the lower part of our body is compared to the tail. The tail is called the pratishta, support. Because without the tail, a bird cannot navigate. The whole body is balanced like an airplane. If a wing or the tail of the plane goes, then the plane will simply crash. So this is a description of the Annamaya Kosha. And as I said, same thing we have to use for the other things also. So tadapyesha shloko bhavati. There is this supporting Vedic verse which states that all beings are born from food, are sustained by food, and ultimately merge back into food upon death. With this, the first section is over after long introduction. Now we are entering into the second section. First I will read out the entire, it is not much, the text. Annadvai prajaha prajayante yah kascha prithivigam shritaha atho annenaiva jivante adhaina dapi yantyantataha. Annagumhi bhutanam jeshtam tasmat sarvaushadam uchyate sarvam vaite annam apnuvante ye annam brahmopasate. Annagumhi bhutanam jeshtam tasmat sarvaushadam uchyate annat bhutani jayante jatani annena vardhante adyate iti cha bhutani tasmat annam taduchyate iti tasmadva etasmat annarasamayat anyo antara atma pranamayah tenaisha purnah savayesha purushavidha eva tasya purushavidhatam anvayam purushavidah tasya prana eva shirah yano dakshina pakshah apana uttarah pakshah akasha atma prithivi puchyam pratishta tadapyesha shloko bhavati. This is the text of the second section of the second chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad called Brahmanandavalli. So what is it telling? Annadvai prajaha prajayante. It is a repetition of what we have seen. Yah kascha prithivigam shritaha atho nenaiva jivante atha athainadapi api yantyantataha. From food, verily, are produced all creatures, whatsoever, every creature, dwell on earth. And we have to understand, not only living creatures, non-living things like mountains, they are also nothing but modifications of the earth only. By food alone, furthermore, do they live, and unto food in the end, do they return? just as a pot made of clay exists in clay and returns to clay when broken, the physical body is fundamentally a modification product of food. So, it is very easy to understand whatever creature is. How did it come? For example, how did I come? From my parents. And how did they produce me? Because they ate food, and that a part of that food became, as I said, a seed, both as the male seed and female seed. So, everything in this world is a modification, every living creature, but I said, even non-living things like mountains, etc. Yah kascha prithivegum shrita. Whatever we experience, we see, we hear, we read of all creatures. And whatever is born of food, it must be sustained by food. Atha annenaiva jivanti. Atha enant api apiyantyataha. So when it breaks down, disintegrates, it must go back to food. I illustrated it already. Just I will mention that one to you. So, I am born, my body is born of food. We are talking about the body. External object is born of food. And it is sustained by food. Until prana departs, this body has to be sustained by food. And after being sustained by food, there comes a time this body cannot function any further because it becomes aged, changed, aged, old, so it has to be given up. What happens? The body is made up of food, therefore it will go into food. And I also told you about that earlier, that when a wild animal is looking at you or me, it doesn't look, this is a Indian, this is an American, is a man, this is a woman, this is young, this is old, but everything is food. They have also that beautiful discrimination, which food is more profitable, easier to follow. A fat man cannot run very quickly and is very satisfying food also. That is one reason we have to not to become fat. So, this food is called jeshtam. Annagumhi bhutanam jeshtam. Tasmat sarva ushadam uchyate. For food alone is the eldest of all beings, and therefore it is called the panacea for all. We will discuss about this in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Hey, Ramakrishna.